Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you again for these people that will come out on a Thursday night. Father, you've told me that Wednesday night type people, Thursday night type people are special to you, Lord, because they're hungry enough in America where there's so many things they could be doing, but they're hungry enough to come and fellowship around your word because they want more of you in their life. Father, I know that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Father, I ask you to reward them tonight with yourself. Father, minister life to them through your word. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing as a teacher, that my tongue becomes as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, anoint their ears with ear salve that they may hear the truth, Father. Father, I thank you that these people will never be the same, that what they hear tonight will go down deep into them, and it will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. They'll never be the same because they came tonight, Lord. And I thank you even now for blessing them. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. We still got some more coming in. Here comes David and Lila. Hallelujah. Come on in. We just did the opening prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. The paper boy, just as you come in there. Paper man. Tammy's going to give a testimony of what happened last week. And would you mind to stand up here? And so, no.
Okay. Last weekend, Erica had said that she was going to stay all night with her daddy.
Now, for the benefit of the tape, how old is Erica?
Erica's 15 and a half. Said she's going to stay all night, spend the weekend with her dad. And that another girl that I didn't know came home from school and was going to go with her. Well, so all weekend long, I went thinking Erica was at her father's house. And come Sunday night, about 8 o'clock, he didn't bring her home yet, but I thought he was just running late, bringing her home. I went to Walmart, came back at 10 o'clock expecting to see her there in bed, and she wasn't there. So I thought maybe her dad was pulling a stunt. And I went to call to see what was going on, and he said that Erica hadn't been there all weekend. She had run away. And so I got with another mother, and because I thought her daughter might know where she was. Come to find out, that daughter was gone, run away too. So there's three girls all together, and they'd run away with two older guys, like 19.
Oh, boy.
And so this was Sunday night. I called the police, and for like 3 or 4 hours, me and one other mother went with this police officer looking, police officer trained, you know, to follow leads, and couldn't come up with any clue as to the last name on these boys or where they were or anything. And we went to the one mother's house, and she, the third little girl, and she was just totally unconcerned, didn't care where her daughter was. So the next day, I was at Daryl's, and me and Tina and Kevin, we, you know, realized that nothing happened last night. Even the police officer couldn't find. I was beside myself. And so we sat down and asked that the Holy Spirit, you know, would lead us to her. And right off the bat, I remembered that late that night before, Desi had said, I think those boys are a friend of Jeremy's, third cousin. I mean, just a... So we call this boy. He gives us the last name. That's all he knew, because it was from his dad's side that he hadn't seen in years and all this stuff. So all we knew was the last name and that they were supposed to have been from Sepulpa. So we head out to Sepulpa, and it was like one lead after another just right before our eyes. I mean, it was so obvious that it was God. And, well, the night before, we had looked through all her notes and stuff in her room to see if we could find any clues, and we found this one, which had nothing to do with it, but there was one, and it was another girl writing her saying that she was going to sneak out and meet her by the White House, by her house. It was a total different time. Wasn't even that night or nothing, or that weekend. So we're driving down the road after, you know, we get all these clues, and we see a road that says White House. And me and Kevin and Tina all at the same time said, White House, you know, because we just remembered reading that letter. And we turned down that road, and it wasn't down that road. And we ended up going all the way to Kellyville, and when we stopped at these stores, and all three stores led us closer to these boys. They were in an Indian housing addition. And when we came back with, I guess, the third store we stopped at with all these clues, and we turned, It was the White House Road, but on the other side.
Mm.
And that road led right to the Indian Housing Addition. And we'd heard from three different people, up a hill, first house on the left. So we went up a hill, first house on the left, and asked these people. And she's like, no. And so it was like, but she said, oh, wait a minute. And she heard that name. She said, Watusi, I think it's up that hill, first house on the left. And so we went up the next hill and seen the two little girls that Erica was with. And went in, and me and Tina, I guess we thought we was going to hold them hostage or something. We told Kevin to go call the police, and me and Tina sitting there, and there's this guy way bigger than us, 19 years old. Erica wasn't there, and we just held him there while he went and called the police, not with just us, you know, and all these angels, I'm sure, because Tina was like, you know, this guy could pull out a gun or something. I said, well, God's brought us this far. I'm sure there's seven-foot angels all around us. But when Kevin called 911, they said, well, you don't have any rights because this is Indian land, and that they would have to go through, I guess, a tribal court and all this stuff. And so we just kind of bluffed our way through that. And when the policeman pulls up right about the same time, Erica's passing by in a convertible with all these teenagers. And I scream at her, Erica, get out of that car right now. She walks over shaking. So we just kind of bluffed our way through it, not letting them know that we didn't have any rights there on that land. And I brought the other two girls with us after we'd kind of had to threaten them to get them in the car. But and the one girl, we met her parents, and she, after talking, she went with them. And the other little girl had told us that she was abused, and this was the one whose mother wasn't concerned where she was. And so we called the police, and he took her to a grandmother's safe house for her. So it all worked out great, and God led us all the way through.
Hallelujah. Okay. Boy, you talk about finding a needle in a haystack,
yeah,
though. Really?
Exactly.
You know, when it comes right down to it, if worse comes to worse, Sue and I happen to hear of a case. David, feel free to find a seat here. We heard R.W. Shambach last night late. He was giving a testimony about this woman who got saved, and God started dealing with her about making restitution for some money that she had never, she had borrowed and never repaid 30 years ago to this lady. And she said, well, Lord, I'd be happy. I mean, I haven't seen this woman in 30 years. I have no idea. And the Lord said to her, she lives in this town, and her number is 621-9346 or something like that. So she calls that number in fear and trembling. Sure enough, it's the lady. She lives about three blocks from her house. Now, that lady needed the money that night because the next day she was going to be evicted from her apartment for back rent. You talk about God working all things out, so hallelujah. He hasn't changed. You remember he told in the book of Acts, go to a street called Straight. There you will find a man praying in the house of Simon the Tanner, you know, so forth. So hallelujah. Everyone say, God's alive.
God's alive.
He's not deaf.
He's not deaf.
And he's not dumb either. He can talk.
He can talk.
And he knows your phone number, too. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's testimony night. Hallelujah. Stand up. Stand up. Tell us what you know.
Oh. Okay. My husband, Kevin.
Glorify the Lord. Oh, go ahead.
My husband, Kevin's 25, and he's been smoking a pack a day since he was 16. And last Tuesday, it started, and he just had this urge. I mean, he was just like, I don't really want one. And he still has not had a cigarette. And he goes, I know it's God, so I'm going with it. And he has not smoked one cigarette since last Tuesday.
Wow. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And, oh, the workout. And he's also been working out and stuff, which is not Kevin. So I know that's God.
Hallelujah. We're pretty sure this is not Kevin's flesh here, wanting to work out and quit smoking and stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if y'all got your handouts, go ahead and get them. And, boy, we're going to have to. That's all right. Hallelujah. Lord knows what He's doing. Really, before I start reading this, you notice the title of this? I argued with God about the title of tonight's message. Don't ever argue with God. Let me tell you about a vision I had this morning that led to this. I was minding my own business, as I always say, praying in the Holy Ghost. And suddenly I was standing at the edge of a orchard, a very large orchard, big fruit trees. These were like supernaturally, you know how big an orange tree usually is Well, these were like orange trees or some kind of fruit trees, but they were very big, and they were very close together. And I mean, as far as I could see no end to this orchard or this forest of trees. But yet, in this vision, somehow I knew that there was one particular tree out in there somewhere that had the fruit on it that I wanted. But how in the world to find it among, it's kind of like your testimony, how in the world to find it in amongst all these other trees, I had no idea. Okay, I mean, I just knew that's what was on the inside of me. Now, don't ask me how. You know how visions are. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit in this vision got me by the hand. What did he look like? I don't know. Okay. He took me by the hand. I knew it was him. That's all I can tell you. Okay? And he started leading me in through these trees. And I knew he was leading me to the particular fruit that I needed from the orchard, the particular tree. Okay? And very circuitous type path. I mean, he was in and out and around and to the right and then to the left. But he knew right where he was going, you know. And I was saying, I asked him, I said, well, no, as we were going through there, I felt very confident that I was going to get the fruit that I wanted. And I looked down, though, and I noticed that as he was leading me, every time I would step, I was stepping into a footprint. Exactly. And I could see these footprints ahead of me here. I hadn't noticed them before. But there were footprints, and I was stepping right in them. And I was going, Lord, Holy Spirit, whose footprints are these? And here's what he said to me. Now look at the title of your page. He says, oh, these are the steps of the faith of your father Abraham. I'm leading you in his steps. I mean, you know, in Hebrews it says we are to follow in the steps. I mean, Hebrews, Romans chapter 4, verse 12 says we are to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. So the Holy Spirit was showing me he leads us. But see, he leads us by faith. And he leads us in the same steps of our father Abraham. So what I wanted to call this thing tonight was something like, the Holy Spirit leads you to the tree. You know, he'll lead you to the promised tree or something like that. But he said, no, I want you to call it the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. So we're going to look at that for a minute. Now, the Spirit leads you into the manifestation of the promises. Now, let's make that a little less talky, okay? Abraham had a promise from God. Okay, now let's stop. The one I'm talking about is when God came to him when he's an old man. Sarah's an old woman. She's past menopause. I mean, she never could have babies before menopause. She'd always been barren. Okay? She's past menopause now. I mean, she's not even making eggs no more, if I understand this, right? Okay, and Abraham's an old man. The Bible says his body was about dead. But God says, no, you're going to have a child. Okay? You're going to have a baby. Now, in the natural, is there any hope? The woman's past menopause. I mean, the man, his body's about dead, you know. We're talking, this doesn't look good, right? But now watch. Abraham had a promise from God. But in the natural, there was absolutely no hope of that promise ever coming to pass. Doctor, can women have babies if they're not ovulating anymore?
No.
Okay, medically, this isn't going to happen. All right. Most of us... Now listen. Most of us are in the same boat. What I mean by that Bible that you guys carry to and from here are full of promises that in the natural, if you take those promises and compare them to your circumstances, looks like there's no hope. And the older you get before you start learning how to stand on the promises, the more it seems like there's no hope. Where's Bill? Hi, Bill. I just lost Bill. Oh, we're going to be so good for Bill. We're going to get all that out of him. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, well, that's my cue. Bill is being delivered from shyness. See how big Bill is? Isn't that wonderful that a man that big can be shy?
See how red Bill is?
See how red Bill is? For y'all that don't know, yeah, it's bold as a lion. We'll get that. Holy Ghost is going to get all that shyness out of you. About 3 weeks ago, maybe four. I think three, though. Well, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, Bill got saved. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was after the service, and he come in to talk in the, you know, in back there in the tape room.
That was 4 weeks ago.
Was that? Okay, I thought it was like 4 weeks ago, and wound up getting saved. I said, you mean, you know, you've never asked Jesus into your heart before? And he said, I've never done that. Never. Isn't that something? Glory to God. Now, if you think that's cool. 2 weeks ago, and I really was minding my own business. I'm down at the 4-star tire company down here getting 2 tires put on our car. And who drives up but Bill in his big brown Dodge? And he had called here to find, you know, to talk to me, and Sue told him where I was, so he come down there. I said, well, Bill, you know, and I come out, we get to talking, and I think this is so cute. This is so precious. I'm going to embarrass him really good. He said he thought he was going to work for Aero Trucking the next day. This was on a Monday, and he was going to start over-the-road trucking, which you're going to be gone, you know, weeks at a time normally. And he says, you know, I heard you talking about being able to, when you was driving trucks, praying in that other tongue stuff. He said, where can I buy a book to learn how to do that? Isn't that precious? And I said, oh, no. I said, the Lord's got a whole bigger deal than that. He wound up sitting in the cab of that Dodge truck out there. Bill got baptized in the Holy Ghost, right, speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And while we're at it, embarrassing people, tomorrow is Daryl Reynolds' birthday. So let's give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can I tell how old he's going to be?
Oh, we're gone to line now, okay.
Can I tell the truth?
Hallelujah. Well, I mean, the Holy Ghost did not want me to leave that out. Because he's went, where's Bill? And all of a sudden I lost him. Yeah, no. I was going to be
58 tomorrow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Settle down. Hallelujah. Maybe the Lord's through with embarrassing people now. I don't know. Donna's here. No, I'm teasing. Okay. Okay, most of us are in the same boat as Abraham. We all have promises in there. That in the natural, it looks like that's never going to happen. I'm 50 years old, or I'm 30 years old, or however old, you know, or 58, you know. But now watch. It will happen for us if we'll learn to walk in the same steps of faith as our father Abraham. That's the steps of faith we're supposed to walk in. All right, now watch. Now listen, we all have scriptures that tell us we are healed. We are prosperous. We are led of the Holy Spirit. Now get this one. We are to walk as He, Jesus, walked. David, how's that for a seemingly impossible promise? You know? The scriptures tell, does it look to you like you're ever going to really walk as He walked? I know it's in there, don't you? I know it's in there too. But in the natural, my hope sometimes, you know, I mean, you see, he's snickering. He knows me. Okay.
No,
you know? Oh, okay. But, you know, that's a pretty bold statement. Okay. But now, just to get it real simple, what were Abraham's steps of faith? If that's the one we're supposed to follow, what were the steps? You know, I thank God he didn't make it real hard. Basically, there was 2 steps, just 2. Abraham was willing to see the vision that God gave him. And Abraham agreed to call himself what God called him. The Holy Spirit works with visions, like that one he showed me this morning. And he works with words. Okay? He will lead you into the manifestation of what you see and say. Now let's look at it in Abraham's life. First, God changed his vision. Now, before he had this vision, now just think. Abraham is over 75 years old. He didn't even leave Haran, where his father passed away, until he was 75. Okay? So he's over 75 years old when God makes this promise to him. And he says to him, and Sarah has always been barren. They've never had any children. Okay? But so that's the vision. That's all the man has ever seen. No kids. Even when she was young. And I was young. And we were trying. No kids. Okay? So that's the vision. Some of you in here, like myself, I'll just take me, I mean, there's certain things that I've never seen yet. All I've ever seen is what I've lived. There's a lot of promises I don't see manifested in my life yet. Okay, so that's a certain vision. Well, that's where Abraham was. But now watch. God came specifically to change his vision. Now notice this is Genesis 15. God did this first. God brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell, or you could say count the stars, if you are able to number them. And God said unto Abraham, so shall thy seed be. Now, if we were to walk at, I drove trucks for 6 years. There was one spot in particular halfway between Flagstaff, Arizona and Phoenix. You climbed up a long, tall mountain. Those trucks would be down to like 10 miles an hour by the time I got to the top of that thing. And they'd be overheating too. I always drove it at night so I could come into Phoenix before the rush hour. But when I got to the top of that mountain, if it was a clear night, that desert air is so dry. I'd always pull over and let the trucks cool down. There's a pull-off place for the trucks there. And I'd step out of that truck and walk around. And those stars seemed so close. It looked like diamonds on black velvet. I loved that spot. And I'd look, and I've never seen the stars so clear as that particular spot. But I can imagine, Abraham lived in the desert. He was in the desert when God took him out and showed him these stars. And I can remember standing on that mountaintop and looking and putting myself in Abraham's place, who'd never had one child. And now God's saying, your offspring is going to be like those stars. See if you can count them, Abraham. See if you can count them. There's no way you could count all those stars. Now, here's the thing. Here's the uniqueness about Abraham. You want to follow in his steps? As impossible as that had to seem to him, over 75 years old, never had a child, past the time of life to have children, yet God says, your kids, your offspring is going to be like that. Now, here's Abraham. Unlike us, Abraham says, okay, you're God. See, in a little while we're going to read a verse that says, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Now, the Bible comes to you and says, let's talk to Andy for a minute, because he's got a call of God on his life. God, and I don't know what God said to Andy, but since I know he's asked about a tent, I know a little bit about it. And God may come to Andy and say, you're spiritual children, Andy. When you get out there and you start fulfilling your call, evangelist or whatever it is I've called, you're spiritual children. Andy, come out and look at the stars. You won't be able to count them. They'll be just like that. Now, if Andy's going to follow in the steps of Abraham, what's Andy got to do? Yes, sir. That's the way it's. If that's what you say, that's the way it is. The rest of my life, that's what I'll see. My ministry will be like that. Isn't that something? Now, that's if you want to follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, you got to quit looking at what is, and you got to start looking at what God says.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now notice, first God came and showed the vision. Everyone, now this is deep. I don't want anyone to miss this, okay? Say this with me. Say, Genesis 15 comes before Genesis 17. You got that? God deals with your heart first. He starts dealing with your vision, your dream, what you see. Some of you that, how do I put this? Maybe you've had marriage problems. That's not the dream that was in your heart when you asked that person to marry you. That's not the dream. See, you don't ever abandon the dream. Okay? How many, everyone say with me, marriage?
Marriage.
Is? Till death?
Till death.
Do we part?
Do we part.
And if you've already parted like I have, God will forgive you. I mean, there is mercy and grace, okay? But the vision that God intends for marriage is forever, isn't it?
Amen.
That's the original vision. The problem is we lose sight of the vision. We lose sight of the vision, okay? You did not, I mean, I saw a commercial, I think it was, and this was just, I think it was just on TV, but this was so good. It said, the commercial showed a junkie, you know, someone on heroin, and just, you know, couldn't even sit up, and they're putting that rubber thing around their arm and sticking that in there, and the thing went something like this. They were asking little kids at the same time. You could see that going on in the background. They were saying, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "I want to be a nurse." "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Another boy, "I want to be a fireman." And then they're showing this heroin addict, and they're saying, "You know, no little child ever dreams of becoming a heroin addict. Somehow they lost the vision." Might be. Somehow they lost the vision. That's not the dream God put in their heart. See, and if we're not careful, you can get into hopelessness, lose the vision that God gave you. "I'll never have any money. I'll never amount to anything. My parents never amounted to anything. They told me I'd never amount to anything, and apparently they were right." You start getting into all that, see. Well, that's not God's vision. If you want to follow in the steps of our father Abraham, follow his faith, the vision that God gives you, you say, "Okay, that's the vision. That's what you say. That's what I see. I see it, Lord." All right? Now, secondly comes the confession. Here God came to him, and he said, "Neither shall thy name any more," this is Genesis 17:5, "neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations." Now look at it. For this is the way most people read it. "For the father of many nations will I make thee." Is that what was that what it says? That's not the way God talks. Everyone say, we're supposed to imitate God. I'm supposed to talk like He talks. Now I want you all to notice, is it okay to imitate our Father God?
Amen.
We're supposed to do that? Now, look what He says to Abraham, who has never had a child. "For the father, a father of many nations have I," past tense, "made thee." Now, sometimes, you know, the devil jumps on you when you start trying to put into practice this thing about confession and calling those things that be not as though they were. Why, you're lying. Well, if that's lying, God's a liar. Because that's the way God talks. When God gives a vision, as far as He's concerned, it's a done deal. God and His Word are one. When He says, "This is the way your seed shall be," that's a done deal. "I have made you the father of many nations." Now, notice this. Abraham's job, or you could say his steps, were twofold. Number one, he had to see his offspring as the stars of heaven, not to look at his present circumstances. He had to keep the vision fresh and alive on the inside of him and not be discouraged. Okay? So step one is see. You got that? Step two is say. He had to say about himself what God had said about him. That's it. That's all. To see and say was Abraham's part of this transaction. That's it. I mean, Abraham got tired of that. He tried to help God once. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Produced Ishmael, which we're still paying the price for today. Okay? How many of y'all have ever tried to help God? Oh, I have. How did it work out? Produced an Ishmael, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it never works. God, everyone say with me, God don't need my help. That's right. He wants you to see and say and stay out of His way. Hey, that rhymes. Get that. He wants you to see and say and then stay out of His way. Don't be out helping Him. He doesn't need your help. Now, that's like a five-year-old kid going to help Daddy tune up the car. Uh-uh. You know, you can watch, but you can't help. Okay? Now, what about the Holy Spirit's part of this transaction? As long as Abraham was seeing and saying, the Holy Spirit's job was to manifest the promise. Now, in the same way as in that vision, the Holy Spirit had me by the hand. Okay, now I'm seeing and I'm saying. I'm seeing and I'm saying. But I don't know the way to that fruit tree any more than Abraham knew how to make a baby when he was over 75 years old. All he could do was see and say. Okay, but you start seeing and saying, you don't know it, but the Holy Ghost has got you by the hand. And He's taking you into that garden and He's leading you right to, in this case, the baby tree. Okay? Abraham needed the baby tree. Needed fruit off of that tree. Isn't that right? How in the world to get there? He didn't know. That's why I always tell you, the Word is the way, the Holy Spirit's the how. He knows how to get there. All right? Now, when the Holy Spirit... Spurt. When the Holy Spirit... Yeah, that must have been fermented fruit. When the Holy Spirit finds a person who is seeing and saying the promises of the Word, He immediately goes to work to lead that person from where they are now into the actual possession of the promise. See, the vision is good to have. Amen? The saying is good. It helps overcome a lot of things. The seeing is good. The saying is good. But there's no substitute for the baby. The seeing is good. The saying is good. Someday, your answer needs to show up. Just like Isaac one day was born. Okay? The Holy Spirit will not only teach you the truth. If you'll follow in these steps, you will possess the truth. Just like Abraham and Sarah had that baby. They held Isaac in their arms. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Now, it was the Holy Spirit who changed the molecular structure of Abraham and Sarah's physical body so that what was impossible, it really was impossible in the natural, became possible. Not only possible, but reality in flesh. That stuff right there. Flesh. God the Holy Spirit changing flesh. Isn't that something? Now, the Holy Spirit, you got to remember, is not bound by natural laws. Y'all ever, I know none of you, you guys are all too spiritual to watch Star Trek, The Next Generation.
I'm not.
Y'all remember Q? You remember Q? You know, huh? You hate that show? I love that show. But anyway, remember Q? Q could do all this impossible stuff, and then one day he lost his powers. He got in trouble, you know, with the head honchos of Q-Land, wherever that is. And anyway, he lost his powers, you know. So they dress him up in a Starfleet uniform, and he's there and helping them, you know. But he doesn't have any powers anymore. And they're into some kind of terrible problem, and the ship's about to be wrecked, you know, as usually happens. And he turns to one of them and he says, "Well, just change the gravitational constant of the universe." And they're going, "We can't do that." You know, and he's going, "Well, sure you can do that." Of course, he couldn't do it anymore either because he'd lost his power, see. But what you got to understand is that's just a fictional show. But the Holy Spirit can change the gravitational constant of the universe. He can change your DNA. He can change your genetic code. If you were born genetically with affinity towards asthma and hay fever, in order for Deuteronomy 28 to be the truth and not a lie, because it says you have been redeemed from every sickness that's not even written in that book of the law. So that means if you were a person which normally... hay fever and stuff is passed down from generation to generation. That means if you were born that way, if you get redeemed from the curse of the law, and really walk in the steps of your father Abraham, the Holy Spirit, in order for you to be free of hay fever and asthma, will actually change the genetic makeup of your DNA.
Yeah, that's not good news. I don't know why.
Huh?
That not good news?
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You do not have to have, you don't have to die at 40 because your daddy did with a heart attack or something. You know, you don't have to. The Holy Spirit can change your genetic code.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not bound by natural laws. He can change the gravitational constant of the universe or anything else. Nothing is impossible with Him. He will do whatever it takes to manifest the promise in your life, even if He has to change you. Ooh. Now get this. It took roughly 25 years for the promise to be manifested in Abraham's life. How many of y'all are wanting to wait 25 years for the promises? No hands are going up for benefit of the tape. Me either. Now, we have an advantage that he did not have under his covenant. We, in the new covenant, with the new birth, Bill, listen to this now, especially with the new birth, we actually have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us who brought a prayer language with him in order to speed up the changing process when we are the ones that need to be changed. How many of y'all think there might be a little changing the Holy Spirit needs to do in you?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. I'm raising my hand. Okay. Now, here's an example. Everyone knows that scriptures for financial increase thing that I've handed out to you before? You know what I'm talking about? The page that has all the prosperity scriptures? How many of y'all have been confessing those? At least some. Lie. Raise your hand. Okay, let's say, for example, that old Kevin here, I'll just pick on Kevin then. Let's say that old Kevin, he got with the program, and he says, by golly, if that's all it takes is to start seeing and saying, I see myself prosperous then. I mean, the first verse on there says, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. I'm going to start seeing myself rich, and I'm going to start saying I'm rich. And let's say he gets with the program. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I think Kevin would strut, you know. Telling you. You know. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He's getting with the program. Now, the Holy Spirit, though, starts analyzing. I mean, now the Holy Spirit's got a problem with Kevin. Because the Holy Spirit, his job is to manifest the Word. And here's a man confessing the Word, calling those things that be not as though they were, and seeing the vision. Uh-oh. Holy Spirit goes, well, I got to manifest the Word to this guy. Trouble is, the Holy Spirit starts looking around on the inside of Kevin, and he finds out a problem. There's only one problem. Kevin loves money more than God. Kevin, you know, he gets to looking in there and he says, well, this guy, I mean, I have to manifest prosperity because he's hanging on to the Word. But this guy, he loves money more than his wife. He loves money more than God, his kids. I'm just, you know, I could pick anybody, you know. Well, now what's the Holy Spirit going to do? What's the Holy Spirit going to do now? See? All right. Suppose a person begins seeing and saying the scriptures like that. But let's say for the present, this person loves money more than people, God, or anything else. Now get this. In order for the Holy Spirit to manifest God's prosperity in that person's life, you know what he's going to start doing? Especially if Kevin will spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. He's going to start prompting Kevin to do things that in the beginning do not at all look like prosperity. He's going to start prompting Kevin to do the lessons that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6. The Holy Spirit's going to start saying, Kevin, I want you to give some of your money to the poor. And Kevin's going, no, I just wanted to be rich. Now, and Kevin goes, no, you don't understand. I just wanted to be rich, okay? That's all I wanted. You know, now he doesn't know that the Holy Ghost is going, yeah, and God wants you rich too, but not if it's going to destroy you. I don't want you to go to hell over money, Kevin. God wants you to be rich, but He doesn't want you to go to hell over money. See? So start giving some of your money to the poor so that your heart will follow what you love, and you will begin to understand that people are more important than money. And as you learn that, then God can trust you with more money. You see how that starts working? That's Matthew chapter 6. Then you know what the Holy Spirit's going to start prompting him, saying, "Oh, Kevin, by the way, I also want you to start spending more time in prayer, son." Prayer? I just wanted to be rich, you know. No, I want you to pray that Lord's Prayer. Pray it a lot, you know, because when you pray that prayer, the very first thing you got to do is humble yourself. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done. Oh, gee.
Hallowed.
Thy will be, hallowed be thy name. I know. Thy will, what I meant was when he comes to that next part, see? Thy will be done, because Kevin's going, "No, I just wanted to be rich." Oh, but I'm supposed to pray, "Thy will be done." Oh, not necessarily my will. "Thy will be done, Father." Oh, okay. Oh, well, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe you need to forgive me of my trespasses. You know, do you see what's going to start happening there? It's going to start changing that proud heart that just wanted to be rich and start putting a servant, a son of God heart in him that understands we're here to serve and please our Father, not ourselves. Then the last thing that the Holy Spirit's going to start dealing with old Kevin about, he's going to start prompting it. And I don't know about Kevin, he's so thin. With me, he starts saying, "Son, you need to fast." Now, I'll tell you what he would do with Kevin. Now, he may or may not talk to Kevin about fasting food, but he would start talking to Kevin about fasting time. You're going to have to start spending time with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Give up some of that time. Now, with me, he'd probably say food and a lot of other things. You know. But why? Why? Again, God wants us all rich, but He doesn't want any of His kids going to hell over money. You understand what I'm saying? So if we're dominated by the lusts of the flesh, I heard somebody say one time, a young lady, she said, "I could spend all the money in the world every day." And what scares me, I think she could. I know this person. I think she could. Yeah, you know. Now, that's being pretty dominated by the carnal flesh, okay? All right? God's going to start dealing with you to do the same three things that Jesus taught in Matthew 6. Start giving to the poor. Spend time praying after this pattern. It'll develop a different heart in you. And start fasting to deaden that appetite of the flesh. Start doing that, God can start making you rich. And you won't go to hell over the money either. Is that good stuff or what?
Yes.
But now see, when you start that and the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, it doesn't sound like you're headed to prosperity when he comes to you and says, "Give some more money away." You started doing this because you needed more money to come. See? And not nearly always, the first thing he starts saying is, "No, give some away." Tilt! But he's got his reasons. If you haven't already, get out your action page, the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Now notice that God did not tell Abraham to confess once that he was the father of many nations. No, God changed his name so that every day, everyone say every day,
every day,
confession would be made even in the course of daily living. Now notice, by changing what Abraham said, God was changing what Abraham was. Now everyone say with me, when I change what I say,
I change who I am.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, now get this. First time I ever heard this statement, Pastor Dave said it. But boy, it went off in me like a bomb. The ark, y'all remember Noah's ark? Now think about this. The ark existed on the inside of Noah long before it ever existed made out of gopher wood. What was it made out of when it was on the inside of Noah? The vision. You could say hope. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the vision is your hope. Noah applied faith to that hope, and eventually they literally had the ark. But the point is, now get this, this is too good. Don't miss this part. The promise has to exist in you before you get to live in it. Now get this. First, the ark was in Noah, right? Later on, he got to live in the ark. Now get this. Prosperity first has to live in you so that later on you get to live in prosperity.
Cool.
You get rich on the inside first. You get the vision on the inside first. What was the first thing God did with Abraham? Look, see, Abraham, get a vision. Today we'd say, get a clue. Isn't that right? Get a vision. Health first has to exist in you before you get to live in health. Everything is like that. A good marriage first has to live in you before later on you get to live in a good marriage. You got to get the vision. You got to get it in you first. And then you got to say it like you've already got it. That's following in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. And for everyone who does that, I said, everyone who does that, I said, everyone who does that, everyone, every time, the Holy Spirit always gives them what they say. Every time. There's no exceptions. There's no special cases. Your problem's not too hard. Your case is not special. Your case is not different. It always works 100% of the time for everybody who does it. Jesus didn't just shed His blood for one person and not for another. These promises are not given for one person and not for another. What He does for one, He'll do for all. Amen? That's good preaching again, Gary. Hallelujah. All right. You get prosperous on the inside first. You get healed on the inside first. You see your family saved on the inside of your spirit first. Now get this. On the inside of me, I see the day when every single one of you will be roaming the land as a mountain-moving, devil-stomping champion of the faith. If I couldn't see that on the inside, I would not endure the discipline of overcoming discouragement. Just like Pastor Dave. We've only been there 4 years. We've seen hundreds come and go. And when they come, oh, we've been looking for a church like this. Oh, finally the message of prayer and faith. Yes. Oh, we're going to be with you until the Lord returns, you know. Well, it's been 4 years and not very many of those people are still there. Not very many. You know, they never really saw the vision. They never really got it on the inside. Nor would they continue to say the vision. Pastor Dave, he hasn't changed a lick. Every Sunday, every service, I thank you, Father, for 1,000 born again every week from the family of the prayer center. I thank you for 500 intercessors who care more about prayer than who's preaching down the street, even though that's necessary. And he just goes on and on with the vision. Doesn't change a bit. He sees the vision. He's saying the vision. What do y'all think? He's going to have the vision, isn't he? I'm going to be there when it comes. Aren't you, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. See, presently what I see on the inside of my spirit is far different from what I see right now with my natural eyes. What's that got to do with it?
Everything.
Yeah, what you see on the inside's got everything to do. It doesn't matter what you see on the outside. What do you see on the inside? And what are you saying? That's what matters. You say this. See it? Say you ought. Say no. Say it this way. I am what the Word says I am.
I can have
what the Word
says I can
have. Now, simply as I can know how to put it, here is following in the steps of Abraham. Number one, see yourself as already possessing the promise. Whatever it is you need from God. Then secondly, say that you already have the promise. How did God put it? I have made thee the father of many nations. Already done. Okay? Never say anything contrary to the promise. Now notice this. Abraham was not allowed the luxury of changing his name back and forth from day to day. And when God changed his name, he changed it forever. Abraham's name was changed forever, and guess what? So is yours. David, it's nice to meet you, Mr. Prosperity. I hear that God changed your name, and now you're Mr. Got Bucks. And I know how it used to be, but someone told me the other day that God came and changed your name. Maybe I come over and I look around your place and nothing looks that much different to me than when I knew you before. Just like when Abraham started, I mean, all of his friends and neighbors that had known him for years as Abram, all of a sudden he says, no, I'm not Abram anymore. You don't understand. Now I am Abraham, the father of many nations. And they're looking behind him and they don't see any children, you know. And maybe I hear that God has changed your name to the riches of Christ Jesus, so that you could have his riches. And I come over and I'm looking around your house and in your parking lot, and I'm going, well, it doesn't look any different to me. And you say, oh, no, you're looking on the outside. What you can't see is what I have on the inside. What I have on the inside. And God changed my name. I'm not going back and forth. It doesn't matter what you see. It matters what I see. And he changed my name. Now see, we get the idea that confession is just a confession thing, and it's okay, like today is one of those good days. Yes, I think by golly today God does supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. And then tomorrow you have a different name. Oh, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. Oh, God. You know, go down and do all that wailing and whining at the altar, you know, think you're being spiritual. Oh, God, I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, God, what do you do? Change your name from day to day? What are you? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus or not? You know? Did he die and bear your poverty so you could be rich just yesterday or today and forever? What is it? Did he change your... See, we're not so much just trying to change our confession. He changed our name. He changed who we are. That's what I'm trying to get across. It's not like, I'm going to make my confessions today now. Let's see. Gary said 1 hour. So I'm going to make my confessions for 1 hour. See? Now that's, you know, you got to start somewhere. But see, that's not really what it's about. The whole point of confession, God changes who you are. He's trying to change what you see. And changing what you say helps change what you see. Eventually, it drops from your head down to your heart, and you go, bless God. I told Sue the other day, and she said the same to me. It just came up. I said, I am so rich on the inside. It has to show up on the outside. I mean, and I am too. If you guys could see how rich, someday you will see how rich I am. I'm richer this Thursday than I was last Thursday. And I was pretty rich last Thursday.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I am so rich. Sue's going, that house, she's just pregnant with our house. I mean, she said, it's so real. It's like, yeah, look at her. She's over there, you know, holding her hands out. She's walking around. See my house? Hallelujah. See, right now the house is in her, but someday we're going to be in the house. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying?
First that house quick.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you guys thought it was bad carrying around an 8-pound baby. That woman's carrying around a house. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I like the lion's
head. I know it. Okay. Do you see that, though? Never say anything contrary to the promise. Abraham wasn't given the luxury of changing his name back and forth from day to day. Was he, Tammy? His name was changed forever, and so is yours. There's Mrs. Tammy Got Bucks, and Kevin Got Rocks, and Mr. Randy Prosperity. You know, and just we could go all around the room. You see what I'm saying? You know? Huh? No, I mean got rocks like diamonds.
Oh, okay.
Like diamonds. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I mean got rocks like diamonds.
I thought you just got a bag of rocks and I got a
bag of rocks. Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, Kevin. No, when I said Mr. Got Rocks, I mean like diamonds, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ishmael.
Oh. Okay. You got that part, though? It doesn't change back and forth day to day. You change it forever. Change your confession forever, you old flaky, lazy, spiritual thing you. Forever. Your name is changed. He's changing who you are. Me too. And in 4, give glory to God. And here's the verse. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, that does not mean he just went around going, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, I give you glory. Glory, 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 God. Hallelujah, glory. You know, and then walk out of church, you know, singing like that wonderful song that Michael's doing right now. What? Daystar. Coming there, giving glory to God. I mean, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful song? And but people, I'm telling you, if you could follow people secretly, invisibly with a microphone, they'll be in there lifting their hands, day stars shine on me, you know, and you follow them to lunch where they can't hear you. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills, you know, I just, you know, and did you see how that lady was dressed? Don't you think it's awful that she come to church that way? You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You know? Nah, it no more changed what they're saying than nothing. Go around bad mouthing everybody in the church. Don't you think that Michael just sings a little too loud, you know? And whatever. I mean, you know, give me a break. For crying out loud. That's not how you give glory to God. It's come in on Sunday morning and sing 3 nice songs and then go cut everybody to pieces over lunch. Yeah? No. Here's how, Abraham. How, Gary, did Abraham give glory to God? Here's how. Abraham became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform it. That's why he said it without shame. I am the father of many nations. Where are your kids? That's none of your business. God told me he has made me. Has. You understand that? Past tense. The father of many nations. And what he has promised, he's well able to perform it. And I'm giving him glory. It's mine. I already am the father of many nations. Well, how do you know you are? Because God said so. That's all the faith. That's all the proof I need. Glory to God. I'm about to... Ah! Look out! Gee! You get me going now. Hallelujah! I'm talking about the Word that cannot lie. Hallelujah! Get your feet on it. Get your feet on that Word. Get it coming out your mouth. There's no force can stop it. Nothing. The devil's defeated. He has no defense against it whatsoever except trying to make you quit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am fully persuaded. Everyone say, I have faith like Abraham's.
I
give glory to God.
I am fully persuaded
that what God has promised, He's well able
to
perform it.
And I'll be saying that
the next time you see me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that's the kind of faith that follows in the steps of Abraham. And you start doing that, the Holy Spirit will lead you to whatever promise it is you're believing Him for. And there is no exceptions either. Hallelujah. Who, does that verse say, performs the promise? God does. See, that's the easy part. Did y'all like what Gerald said that night? He says, I believe in making everything real easy on me and real hard on God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God likes it that way too. God likes it that way, I'm telling you. He picked a virgin to have the baby Jesus. If that's not enough, he picked Elizabeth, the what is she, cousin or something? Cousin. She'd always been barren. Now, why did he do that?
To stay in the family.
Okay, how about Gideon? How about with Gideon and his army? No, you got too many. No, we're going to cut these down. No, they cut them down. No, you still got too many. God likes doing that kind of stuff, I'm telling you. He gets glory out of it. He likes taking someone even as wretched as Sean. And he says, I'm telling you, I can make a champion out of this man.
He's laying hands on it.
A mountain moving, devil stomping champion of the faith out of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, and I like doing it. If I can just get him to follow in the steps of his father Abraham. Excuse me. Glory to God. I'm having a good time myself. Hallelujah. Our job is the same as Abraham's. Our job is the same as Abraham's. To see and to say. Listen, God the whole... Yes, see and say. We have three women at the church that they call themselves see, say, do. One sees, one says, one does. Hallelujah. But anyway, by the Spirit, yeah. Our job is the same as Abraham's, to see and to say. The hard part belongs to God. The Holy Ghost, He's the one that's got to change your circumstances. He's the one that's going to have to, if you need healing, come in there and change the molecules. And if it's a spirit of infirmity, by the finger of God, drive that devil out of you. He's the one that's got to do all the hard stuff. If it's prosperity, He's the one that's going to have to start leading you in the paths that's going to wind up being your prosperity. Even talking to other people who might need to give to you for their prosperity. And He's the one that'll instruct angels to go instruct them. I mean, how He does it is up to Him. He's got the hard part. Our part is to see and to say. To see the vision and say what God said. That's all. That's our part.
So He can do it.
That's right. The Holy Ghost performs what He hears. He works through vision and He works through words. Now get this. If you have no vision and He hears no words, there is no performing by the Holy Spirit. Good intentions don't get it done. I love God, Brother Gary. And don't you think God would come and heal me anyway just because He loves me? You know, whether I keep the vision or whether I say anything or not. No, I don't think He will. You're not following in the steps of your father Abraham. God works by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. No, He won't come and do it either. What do you think? You're so full of pride, you think He's going to make an exception for your case? What do you want? Him to send Jesus to the cross again to bear your sicknesses just one more time? Is that what you're saying? How much pride do you think you're in to talk like that? Faith speaks on this wise. Who shall ascend into heavens to bring Him back down? Who shall ascend into the earth to bring Him up again, to do that all over again just for you? No, faith. Faith is in your mouth and then in your heart. It's already been done. Your job is to see and to say, and you shall have. God, I'm going to have to listen to this tape myself, Andy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No vision, no words, no performing. How do I get the vision, Brother Gary? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Go back through those confession booklets that we gave you and the handouts that we gave you. You start seeing the truth in those things, get them coming out of your mouth until you start seeing yourself just like they say. Every one of those is Scripture taken from the Word of God, made into a confession for you. Train your mouth. I said, train it. Train it, I said. You ever tried to train? You ever tried to break a wild bronco? Your mouth is a lot like that thing. James even talked about that, trying to tame the tongue. You got to have to bridle that thing. It's not going to happen just by wishful thinking. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. One good way to begin is praying in other tongues. For once, you turned your tongue over to the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you this, speaking the truth, speaking the Word, now I'm telling you, this part is no fun, but it works. Sue and I, in those early days, made this agreement, and I know I've told you this before. I thought I was going to get the better end of this deal.
Because we heard Copeland.
Yeah, we were imitating Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. All right, whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth, I'll agree with you, and it'll be just that way. And that's about the way we said it, something like that. Okay? Now I thought I was going to show her, bless God, who's spiritual in this house.
Even
you know.
The Copeland and said the same
yeah.
thing.
But, pride has no limits. So we made this I swear that was the worst deal I ever made in my life. Now, I mean, you don't even realize, especially in the beginning, how negative your mouth is. I mean, stuff would come out of my mouth that I wouldn't even recognize until she would say, "That's your confession. It'll come to pass just that way. I'll agree with you." No, wait a minute. I didn't mean that. No, I got so mad. I wanted to smack her. You know, seemed like every 10 minutes.
Okay, let's
curse
that seed.
Yeah.
Won't bear any fruit.
That's what you have to do. You say, in Jesus' name, we curse that seed. We cast those words to the ground. They'll not bear fruit. They'll die. You know? Yeah, we was doing that. I was doing that 20 times a day or more. I mean, you know, it seemed like I couldn't say anything hardly. She'd say, and boy, she just loved it. That's your confession. And I just agree with
you. Sure, you want me to agree with you on that?
Oh, man, I'd get so mad, you know. Once in a while, I'd get to get her, but it was, I mean, we're talking like 20 to 1 here, okay? 20 to 1. It wasn't very often. But anyway, that's another way you can help train the tongue. Get some, get you somebody that you're with a lot. Y'all make that agreement. You'll be amazed. Amazed at what's coming out of your mouth. Now, we still, and I want to mention again, we have one additional tool to employ that Abraham did not have. It does not have to take 25 years, you guys. We have praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit, as you do that, now listen, the Holy Spirit, the more you do it, even if it's the same syllables over and over, He will begin changing your desires, your inner motivations, so that they begin lining up with the nature of Christ who is actually in you. He will begin dealing with selfishness. For example, and will begin leading you to give to other people who have less than you do. He will be, this is kind of a repeat from the first page, but He will begin prompting you to pray more along the lines of the Lord's Prayer. He will begin prompting you to fast and quit giving your flesh everything that it wants. Now let's stop right there for a minute, because a lot of people know me and know I have some fleshly habits. But let me tell you some discipline I do have that the Holy Ghost has dealt with me on. Time. Time. Y'all have heard our testimony. I mean, in the beginning, it was strictly fasting, time, that I used to spend doing things I enjoyed. Sue used to be a football widow, practically, during football season. I loved it. I watched the Dallas Cowboys. I still like it. But I'd watch the Dallas Cowboys. I'd watch two or three games on a Sunday afternoon, you know, have flipping the channels to try and keep up with all three games that's going on and all that, you know. But lots of other things that used to occupy my time. I had to fast those things and give that time to the Lord. So there's more than just the kind of fasting that you're thinking of. One thing, time is one of the first things that He's going to deal with you on. Because without spending time with Him, what can He do? No time with Him, what can He do?
Well, without Him, you can do
that. That sounds like a scripture. I know it's in there somewhere. Hallelujah. We often fail to recognize. He will begin prompting you to fast and quit giving your flesh everything that it wants. My flesh wanted to sit here and watch three football games. Did not want to go down to, well, whatever it is you like. But it did not want to go down to the church and pray those same 6 hours. My flesh did not want to do that. Do you understand me, Lila?
Yeah.
I had to train it. You will go. I don't want to go. You're going. I'll make you miserable. And boy, it did. Get down there, sit my hiney in a chair and start praying, you know. Oh, you know, here we're praying. Surely 2 hours has gone by and it's been 15 minutes. Oh, God. You know, dear God. Pray, sit there and pray. And, oh, God, 20 more minutes. Oh, you know. Yeah, don't tell me it's not training. your flesh. Now, that's not giving your flesh everything it wants. And mortify that flesh. Hallelujah. We often fail to recognize that those sorts of promptings, like when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about giving some of your money to the poor, He wants you to go pray. He wants you to fast food, or He wants you to fast time or TV or something in order to spend time with Him. We don't often recognize that those are the very things that are necessary to change even old Kevin so that he can receive the promises that he really wants. See, they don't seem at first connected to the promise. I just wanted to be rich. And the Holy Ghost is going, give $10 to that street person. No, you don't understand. You must not have heard my prayer. I want to be rich. And the Holy Spirit's going, I know. Give $10 to that street person. So we have a hard time recognizing in the beginning. That is, He's starting to lead you in the steps of the faith of your father Abraham. He's going to start leading you. See? But that's how He has to do it, because He has to get that love of money out of you. Or if He just makes you rich, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. He's got to get that out of you to make you rich. He doesn't want you to go to hell over money. Crying out loud. Amen? Y'all got that?